Praise God. I'm thankful to the Lord He's put this study on our hearts, and it is our hearts because it's His Spirit. And we're going to begin tonight the book of Galatians. So if you'd go ahead and open there, we're going to have, I believe, what the Lord wants is just an introduction of His truth and love in this sweet book. But as you hear that word Galatians, and I hear it within the walls of this place, I realize tonight that most here are very familiar with this letter from Paul. This letter truly from the Holy Spirit written through Paul. But because you're familiar with it, I say praise be to God. I'm thankful to the Lord that this is familiar. I am thankful to God that grace has encouraged us in our lives to always keep these things in remembrance. And brothers and sisters, by His grace, over the next months, I believe the power of the Holy Ghost is going to give us even more revelation in this, continued encouragement in it from the revelations that we have in it. And I'm going to be thankful because we're going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So I'm thankful to God that He has brought us here. But as we begin, I'm led to spend a little moment on just how incredible our Lord is. Well, no duh. But just how incredible our God is. Now, obviously, we should never be surprised, but in this letter, and as He was bringing this to my heart, I am just so amazed in how forward-thinking God is. He's the God of the moment. He's the God of so far off. He's just God. And He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. And we're so thankful who and what He is. But I'm talking specifically about His specific and precise planning. It says in Colossians 1:23 that the hope of the gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. Did you hear that? The hope of the gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. Now, this Galatians is even more evidence of it. You think about this Galatia. It is a province, as we know today, in northern Turkey. But it was a place where all of the roads really came together from Europe and from Asia. And whether you it was the cosmopolitan cities of Corinth, or Philippi, or Colossae, cities where they had trade routes, cities where they had shipping ports. Now, let me tell you something. God's not limited to shipping ports, and God's not limited to trade routes. But God so chose these places that that's where His word was going to go out. And you can see now as we go back again to Colossians 1:23 that the hope of the gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. And in that, brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful that we see, even in Paul's letters, there's just the absolute revelation that this gospel went out to every corner of the earth. And brothers and sisters, we need to take rest in the word of God that God has already done it. And I'm thankful to the Lord as He was encouraging my heart in things that I know, but thanking God again and encouraging me in these things again, that we do not need to force ourselves upon this world. We don't need to force ourselves upon the world, brothers and sisters, but rather be led in Him and as He gives us opportunity of utterance to speak the truth in love. I'm grateful to God. I'm thankful to Him that I know that He is not a respecter of person. I'm thankful that the Word of God, His will, is that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. I'm thankful to God that that is His purpose, that He died for all the sin. He died for all the sins of man. And thanks be to God, all we need to do is to come with that mustard seed of faith and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You are my Savior. Isn't that precious? I'm thankful to the Lord that it is that simple. Now, this Galatia, as I mentioned, is a place in northern Turkey that we know today. It was settled by Gauls and Celtics from Central Europe. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me, but when you talk about what kind of people they were, a lot of them were mercenaries. They were a warring group of people. These were savages in this area here. And but in about 150 BC, the Romans took control of this area. But these people pretty much stayed in there. Jews moved in there, all of these different people. And this is who this letter is calling out to. And again, it's more evidence to our sweet Lord and Savior that it's to every kindred, tongue, and nation. God didn't exclude anybody. He wanted to include everybody. That's why God so loved the world, He gave His Son. And He gave His only begotten Son. And I'm thankful that we know this, brothers and sisters. But this word, Galatians, it means milky. And as always with the Word of God, every name in the Bible is so appropriate. Milky. This letter, brothers and sisters, is such a warning of the falling away from the gospel of the grace of God and falling and retreating to the works of the flesh. Over and over, we're going to read throughout this letter, it says that these Christians, these ones that had fallen away, that had went the way of the flesh, the works of the flesh, are troubled. And brothers and sisters, let us take note in that. Anytime we depart from the grace of God, we're going to be troubled. It's a fact. It's an absolute given because we are not our own. We are born of God. We have Christ Jesus in us. And let me tell you something. Christ Jesus is full of grace and truth. That's what He is. That's how we operate. And by the grace of God, we live by faith. And we live by faith alone. But in this troubled way of departing from grace, they returned and became as little babies again, ones that could only feed upon milk. As the Word of God tells us, whether it's the Shulamite, we want a full set of teeth so that we can feed or masticate on the meat of the Word of God. And again, I'm just so thankful how this brings this out. And Galatians isn't alone, brothers and sisters, in itself. There's three total books of the Bible that state that the just shall live by faith. Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. And maybe, as we get into this as well too, in chapter 2, verse 16, it says it as clearly as anywhere in the Word of God, but in Galatians 2, verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Somehow, some way, though, many Christians think that somehow changes after you've accepted Him by faith. Well, now I've got to go back to works. And that's exactly what these kind of folks got back into. It doesn't say you flip back in. It never says that you go back. You go on in grace. You go on in believing Jesus Christ for your life. But it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to God that He's given us many other verses and chapters to, tell us this in so many different ways. As God said, it's in my Son. Now, this rule of new creation, brothers and sisters, this is the rule of new creation. And the rule of new creation is its grace. It's grace. The Bible tells us it's the seed that remaineth. That we have been transformed, praise God, from death to life in one blinding moment of faith. By grace are we saved through faith. Amen. And we understand that it's not of ourselves. We do not boast in ourselves. It is the gift of God. And so sweetly, Paul, I love this part as well too, as we're kind of giving the intro, and where better to go than the end of Galatians there in chapter 6, verse 17. It says there, let's read that. As Paul says, from henceforth let no man trouble me. See, they were troubled because they were departing from grace. He says, I'm not going to depart from this by God's grace. Grace is going to hold me in grace. Grace is going to multiply grace in me. But he says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I love this, brothers and sisters, and I believe you do too. He's saying here is he is going to stand and he will not be moved. Do not bother me about what I believe. Brothers and sisters, we need to distance ourselves truly from those who want to stay in works. You're going to have to leave them behind. You witness to them. You tell them of the love and the grace of God. You're always there in love, but you need to move on. You cannot get bogged down in these things. And this is what Brother Paul is saying. He's saying, don't you bother me. This is it. I'm only persuaded in the grace of God. And praise God, I've been illuminated in the grace of God, and I have experience in the grace of God, that I am what I am by the grace of God, and I stand alone and only in His workmanship, which is the grace of God. I really can't adequately explain, and I know you're in the same place, how precious and wonderful and restful and free it is to finally rely on your life upon Jesus Christ. Upon having absolute confidence, Lord, this is your desire. Lord, this is your will. Lord, this is your want. Lord, this is your life. And Lord, praise God, your life lives in me. How much more complete could it be? It can't be. I was speaking with a sister last night that was out of town. And I appreciate this, and I give God all the glory, but my heart hurt for her. She says, you just have such an absolute confidence in the grace of God. Praise the Lord! That's what we need, is absolute confidence in the grace of God. And absolute no confidence in me. No confidence in you. That you know that you're quick to fail, that you know that you're quick to unbelieve, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. My goodness, praise God, you're not just working for me, you're working in me. This is what I have. I have your life. And how beautiful it is and how powerful it is to know that I can absolutely depend upon the life of Jesus Christ that lives in me. Praise God. Now, it's wonderful, brothers and sisters. And as we go through this, I believe we will rejoice with Paul. That we live in this complete liberty that is in Christ. This freedom that we have. This unlimited growth potential that we have all by and in grace. Did you hear that? You have unlimited potential, but it's all in and by grace. Amen? Amen. Praise God, the hope of glory. It's the grace of God working for us and in us. And so sweetly, let's go over here in chapter 1 of this Galatians. Paul rejoices that this grace gospel, it's not from man. It couldn't be from man. It's not from me. Nor could it ever be from man. Because all man can do is works. All man can do is contrive how he is going to work something in his flesh, meriting something in his own doing. But you see, only God can conceive and bring forth grace, which he did all in his only begotten Son. But it says there in that 11th verse, but I certify you, brethren, I'm telling you completely, I'm attesting this, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. See, man didn't bring this. For I neither received it of man. And you can't receive it of man. See? Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I am so grateful to God. If I be otherwise minded, he will make this known unto me. He will. He is faithful. And brothers and sisters, when we finally get to the point where we just count him faithful, then we're going to get somewhere. We're going to grow somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to do this and do this and do this. You finished it on the cross. And praise God, you'll finish that good work in me. You're the author and finisher of my faith. I know that, God. I know that you are for me, that nothing can be against me because you are for me. Now, these joys, brothers and sisters, that we're talking about here, I believe that they'll come forth even in more boldness as we get into this letter that is full of just a vehement love. But there is something that God wanted me to bring out as we talk about this in this introduction that's probably the most pressing on my soul than anything maybe in this letter at this time. And that is the thought of no other gospel. Amen. No other gospel. Don't want to waste my time. Time's too short. It's too precious. I'm not going to sit there and try to be polite. I'm not going to be rude, but I'm going to excuse myself from that. There is no other gospel. There's no other love letter. This is the lover of my soul. Praise the Lord. I want to be with him. Praise God. This is the one that honey will leave that house and join with the spouse. And this is it. But brothers and sisters, Paul is preaching here an urgency. And there is an urgency in every one of our lives here. There was an urgency that was preached. And I believe that it was right there through all of the convention. There is an urgency to settle down. There's an urgency to stand. There's an urgency to rightfully divide. There's an urgency to adhere completely and only to the grace of God. And that should be thrilling. Because thank you, Jesus, we depend solely and only, and our confidence is only in you. But brothers and sisters, we must surrender to this paramount message of truth, stated so many different ways in so many different times. But I'll just name a few here tonight. In Romans 16:25, it says that it is Paul's gospel through the power of Christ that will establish you. Did you hear that? Romans 16:25? It is Paul's gospel. Not just a gospel, not just somewhere here or there. It is specifically Paul's gospel through the power of Christ that will establish you. That it is Paul's gospel in Romans 1:16 that will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. That in 2 Timothy 2:7, it's by considering what Paul says that the Lord will give you an understanding in all things. Now, we could go on and on in that, brothers and sisters, we know. But even from those three verses, one can conclude very quickly that, praise the Lord, when he said, this man, this Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me, we better take note. Now, I understand that's just a vessel, just like you, just like me. But praise the Lord, there was a message put in this vessel. The gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness was put into this vessel. The mystery of Christ Jesus and the church that was never known by anyone except the Godhead. And praise be to God, it was brought through this brother. It was brought through this chief of sinners. I love it. The less of the less of the least of the least. The most wicked, the most vile. Do you think that God is trying to show you something? Amen, he is. He's telling it is for you. And it's for you and you and you and you. It's for all of us. Praise God. Paul already got there. He said, look, I'm going to take the award. I'm the chief of sinners. So that means you have to be second chief. I'm chief chief. So if I'm chief and I can receive this, you can too. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful. But, you know, in that state of heart, understanding who we really are, we're all chief of sinners. We really are. And I hope you know it. And that's the only way you're ever really going to receive this message, is to understand you're nothing but wicked but for Jesus Christ. I love it. You always have to have that wonderful vision of the tents of Kedar to truly enter into the understanding, I'm as the curtains of Solomon. It's so wonderful because we have to see the beauty of Jesus Christ and him alone that has done this in our lives, that brings us this transformation power, that, Lord, you are the one. And thank you, somehow grace apprehended me. It apprehended me. It took me. You found me. I wasn't looking for you. You found me. And praise God, somehow, some way, your grace has caused me to turn to apprehend you. Now in that, can you imagine how we please the Father? Can you see how He delights? Oh, that son, that daughter, they get it. They get my beautiful only begotten. That is Him. I see that life. I see that there's no righteousness but the righteousness of my Son, Jesus. I want to bring joy to the Father. I really do. Don't know how it ever happened, but I want to bring joy to the Father. And I realize how I do it. I just let His Son manifest Himself in me. How simple! The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Believe Him. Hear Him. Only Him. No other gospel. No other gospel. Now, let's read it. Verse 8, chapter 1. Here's Paul saying, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." How many gospels were going out at this time? Amen. And even from this time, we're going to see that Peter had to be rebuked. And we're going to see that others had to be set right. Not by Paul, but by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that was given to Paul, which is known as Paul's gospel. Now, this truly is the beginning, brothers and sisters, of such force and such warning in the power of the Holy Ghost that this is the doctrine. This is it. This is what God wants for us. That I have been given, praise God, the message to the full overcoming Gentiles. That's what Paul did. He brought the message to those who would become the full overcomers in the New Testament. Just as Moses was the one that delivered that message by God's grace to the full overcomers in the Old Testament. To know the ways of God, no matter if it was the Old Testament or the New Testament, that we would know Him. And know His ways. And praise God that we have such manifested a better thing. Know my grace. Know my Son. See, Paul, brothers and sisters, was enlightened to see that his own life was this message of divine grace and nothing else but grace. Go over here. We have some time and we'll turn to each one of these scriptures and read them together tonight. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Let's go over there and read that. That's 1 Corinthians 1:17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." I just am so grateful. This grace and nothing else. And I'm thankful that there's even more in this sweet, precious verse here, brothers and sisters. You think about what this baptism meant. This baptism is speaking again in so many different ways of this salvation that we see so clearly that we need and have a necessity of. But that wasn't necessarily what Paul's emphasis was. Paul's message was the finishing. To be filled with all the fullness of God. That the Gentiles not only heirs of God, but now can be joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. That's the message. To win Him. The message of the goodly pearl, brothers and sisters. The message of, I praise God, come out from among them and be ye separate. praise Jesus. This is the message to the bride. This is the message to the Shulamite. This is the message to the Esther. This is the message to the Ruth. And brothers and sisters, it doesn't just end there. This Paul, he was enlightened in his own life to see that it was this divine grace and nothing else. He was the prisoner of this. Let's read Ephesians 3:7 about how this soul captivated him, that he was the prisoner of Jesus Christ and this wondrous love. But in 3:7 he says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." And then this grace, brothers and sisters, was placed in his trust. Let's go over to 2 Timothy and look at chapter 1, that 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. It says there, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." And then you go over to read about being the preacher of it in 1 Corinthians, let's go back there, chapter 9. And it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me, or unto me, if I preach not the gospel." You could see the intensity of God in him impressing this upon him. And brothers and sisters, this wasn't just for Paul. This was for those too, that there would be a crown of righteousness laid up for them that love his appearing. And you know that loving his appearing, again, we were talking about it in the saints, in the sky. But praise God, what is his appearing? It's grace. Them that love grace, them that love to see the liberty of Jesus Christ, them that love to see exactly what the fullness of the gospel is, it is the grace of God. And then in Romans 1:16, let's read that together. This is so precious. "He did not boast in himself at all. It was grace that is Paul's boasting. He says, 'For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.'" And then in Colossians 1:5, we realize that this grace is his hope. And it says there in Colossians 1:5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." And then, brothers and sisters, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 20, how wonderful, because we see that grace, it's concluded, is his life. In chapter 20, verse 24, it says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And if you go down to the 32nd verse, here it is. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And I just touched on the surface of it. But it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. When are we going to stop fussing? When are we going to see that, praise the Lord, his life is divine? When are we going to see that, praise the Lord, he loves us so that we do? We have this before ordained good works. That's the path that he has chosen. The things that we encounter, the weaknesses that we have, the infirmities that we have, praise be to God, it's his grace. It's not punishment. It's not to torment us. It's to keep us in a state of grace and to receive grace from him in order to grow up, to receive this full inheritance. Brothers and sisters, the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened to this marvelous, wondrous work of grace. It's not just, well, let's make it up as we go, or we'll kind of steer it here and there. Let me tell you something. Before he ever set a star in heaven, grace was laid out. The plan was there. Praise the Lord for your life, thinking these things through, what it would take perfectly, who you are, what you think, everything about you, absolute perfection for the grace of God to grow you up into the masterpiece that would be called one day the Lamb's wife. Amen. And how wonderful that God in His grace is revealing this to us. It is. It's the motherlode in the eternities to come, what we have in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Galatians. That first chapter again. I marvel in that sixth verse that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Grace is Christ's only gospel. That's it. He has but one. And this is it. It is the grace of God. Now, it is no wonder that Paul is so insistent. He's got an unction from the Lord. He's got a passion. He's got a fervent fire burning. He is a flaming one. He has this urgency that we receive it. That again, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened that this is the only truth of the unmerited love of God. It cannot be apprehended any other way, or it would be merited in some respect. I always remember Brother Hill standing up here and talking about clipping his little fingernail. If I could just clip my little fingernail, just to do that, to get in and accepted, it would all be gone. Because grace would have not been necessary. The blood of the Lamb was absolutely necessary. It had to be only the blood of the Lamb, which is absolutely, fully, and only the grace of God. Hallelujah. We can conclude this because it's the truth. The purity of this message, brothers and sisters, is no small thing. Because the purity of this message is the only way into the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Faith in grace. Did you hear that? Faith in grace is the key to growing up into Him in all things. Absolutely. It's in the grace of God. It's in Him. It's in His love. Grace is Christ's only gospel. And we can conclude, brothers and sisters, that tonight, because of His revelation of His truth, because, praise the Lord, He had a chosen vessel unto Him, Brother Paul. So as we part tonight, what is grace? What is grace? Well, it could never be adequately defined, but I've had some take a run at it and tell me, well, brothers and sisters, it's the excuse to sin. It's the excuse to fail willfully. It's the excuse to just barge through life without remorse or conviction, a life that's being led completely by the flesh and saying, well, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm glad you're stunned, because that's not grace. That's called my fleshly thinking. That's not grace at all. Brothers and sisters, grace, again, excuse me for trying to somewhat define it, but I believe this is in spirit, but it can never be contained because it's just too immense. But I believe that grace is love's awakening in us. It is. It's love's awakening. And not just a little love. I'm talking about something that we can know, but know that it grows and grows and grows all the time. It's the realization, the known assurance, that now I am a son of God. Not just a thought. Not just a once in a while. Not just something that was on a page or I felt like it because we were so excited together at church today. But no, I'm a son. I'm born of God. That's who I am. Okay? Starting to penetrate. Now in that I am his son, that he sees me only and in the life of his son, because he has but one, in a sense, life, that son. There's many sons he calls to glory, but it's still that life. No difference. Now in that, I know that he is for me. We're talking grace now. That he favors me. That his love for me can never, ever depart. And not only depart, but I can never be separated from the love of God. But grace does not stop there. Grace goes on and makes evident in us, brothers and sisters. It truly is not just the awakening of love, but it's the love working in action in us. I used to love how Brother Hill used to bring that back. It's alive. It wasn't bestowed on in me in vain. Oh, no. Somehow, some way, grace apprehended grace. I took it. Hallelujah. And the power of God started working in us. And in that power, an evidence comes, brothers and sisters, an indescribable gratitude and thankfulness. Isn't that what you have? You can't describe it, can you? I know you have it by God's grace because you're at a Bible study to hear just this. And you're excited about it. And if you're sitting here and you're not excited about it, for some reason, you know that grace will activate it in your life because it's not dependent upon you. You may be in a desert, but you know grace has not left you. You know grace is in your hand. You know grace is in your mouth. You know grace, absolutely, by God's grace, encapsulates you. And it does. It's just the moment to awaken to it. And even when you're in that desert, and even when you're in that dry time, even when you're in that valley that is so deep, the moment that God inspires you by grace to awaken to his grace, there's nothing more precious. There's nothing sweeter. There's nothing more valuable because the power of Christ rests upon me. AKA the grace of God. Oh, he's gone nuts. Yes, I have. And I'm thankful. These are things by my spirit, yea, the deep things. Now, as the evidence in us of this indescribable gratitude and thankfulness for his unmerited favor and love to us, something starts to happen. And what happens is a continuing transformation of my heart, my mind, and my soul. A giving over of my members. Yep. For him to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, I can't set out to try this in me. It does not work. I may be able to fool myself, fool others for some amount of time, but you will never fool God. Because there is but one, and that is his son. And in his son, there is but one thing, and that is grace. And again, that alone, brothers and sisters, is the transformation power. And as we realize and apprehend that unmerited love and power, and that gratitude and thankfulness grows in our lives, there's a transformation that happens. There's a renewing, praise God, of our minds. That letting this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, he begins to reign. His life, praise God, begins to absolutely reign and have power. And that life wants one thing, to please the Father. Isn't it amazing? And honestly, and I believe at least a few of you are with me on this, you stand back and you watch that man. You glory in that man. See, that's where Paul was. Paul was taken there. He saw that. I'm seeing that. You're seeing that. As you step back and you watch that man, I glory in that man. That man is Christ in me. That man is Christ in you. That ain't you. Once that starts to glory in you, no, it ain't that man. That miraculous one. That amazing one. That eternal one. That one I read of right here. That one I know. That one that lives in every child of God. As he comes forth in such boldness and beauty in us. Hallelujah. Growing up into him in all things. But it doesn't stop there. I think you're getting a pattern here. Grace just doesn't stop, does it? Oh no. For grace goes on and on and on. And grace has no end. For in the ages to come. And I almost feel like I'm there sometimes. But not yet. Oh no. Because we can't imagine. I can't. Because I'm going to have a body like unto his own glorious body. But in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Preach no other gospel. Let's stand and be dismissed.